Yo, what's up, guys? This is Dave with Dynasty Dorks. We're a year-round fantasy football podcast, and we do Dynasty and Redraft content. Thanks for the follow. Good luck this season. What's going on, guys? It is 2022, and we're going to do a mock draft because it's no off seasons in Dynasty, and we are doing trades, we are making moves, we're getting ready for next year, and some crazy people are already doing startups. So with the season over, we thought it would be great to see where everyone is as far as the values. I'm going to start out with some news. Got my man Jeremy here with me. I know he's having a little technical issues. He's in a hotel right now, prepping for a test. So we have Nathaniel Hackett going to the Broncos. We got Matt Eberflus going to the Bears. So first question, I know that the quarterback is the big question there. What are your thoughts on how that affects Javonte and the pass catchers? And can we even evaluate that situation until we know who the quarterback is, Jeremy?
I don't think we can really evaluate it till then, just because we don't know. I mean, I think Javonte Williams, and if they bring, again, it's all going to depend on if Gordon comes back for Javonte Williams. I think your floor is what he was this year. I don't see them changing too much. Nathaniel Hackett is, I feel like he's just going to lean towards whatever his strength is. So if they don't bring a quarterback in, they're still going to see a run game from him. He even saw it. He had some time here in Buffalo where he was an OC, and it was still kind of the same thing. They were a run heavy team then, so they ran the ball pretty heavy there. So I don't expect a huge change in philosophy aside from if he can lure Aaron Rodgers there. If he lures Aaron Rodgers there, then you're going to see a little bit of a change in the maybe the ideology behind it. But it also does depend on OC. So I think that's still a waiting game. But I think Javonte still got a great upside. You're not going to know anything until like that all plays out, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see who Eberflus brings over as the offensive coordinator. When an offensive coach is hired, it tells you a lot already what the offense is going to look like. But when a defensive guy is brought over, it's always very interesting to see who they bring over. If they bring someone over from their current team or from another squad. And Justin Fields, obviously, it's going to be very important to see what happens for him and all the other weapons there. All of our news is brought to you by Manscaped, number one below the belt tools, manscaped.com. Make sure you go over there, check it out. They always got new things going on, not just the lawnmower. They have, shaving balms. They have deodorant for you to keep you smelling fresh top to bottom, as well as they got some boxers and shirts. So use Dynasty Dorks 20 to get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. So let's get straight into it and talk about our Dynasty draft. And it wasn't just us. We had a few of the guys with us. And here it is. So hopefully everyone can see that. I'll try to zoom it just a little bit more. Let's see if that cuts anybody off. I think we're okay. So to start off, we had Jonathan Taylor, then Najee Harris, Justin Jefferson at the 3 spot, Christian McCaffrey at 4. That was you, Jeremy. CeeDee Lamb at 5, Jamar Chase at 6, Cooper Kupp at 7, Dalvin Cook at 8. Then we had DeAndre Swift at 9, Alvin Kamara at 10, Javonte Williams at 11, Davante Adams at 12. So out of the first 12 picks, does anybody stand out too high, too low for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was really surprised Javonte went at 111, if I'm being honest.
It's too low, right?
I think it's too high. I mean, I get it. He's a running back that you have a lot of, I mean, he's good. I love him. I think he's a great guy or a great like prospect in this point, but like, we don't know what if Melvin Gordon's back on another 2-year contract. You're drafting him as an RB1, and he may always be an RB2 based on the fact that they bring Gordon back. You know, like his value is interesting to me just because, like, is he worth 111? Probably, if he has a lead role. Mm-hmm. But you don't know what he's going to be. Do you know what I mean? Like you're drafting him this early. I was just surprised he went that high. If I know Gordon's gone, then yeah, I love the pick. But you're definitely risking something there. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, I think it is pretty, you know. I think Najee Harris is a little high, but, like, he's worth it. I mean, he was the RB4 as a rookie on a team that was not good, so.
Yeah, I would have pushed some of these receivers up. I really was hoping I could get Ja'Marr Chase at that 7 spot. And I thought, mm-hmm. is Cooper Kupp at the 1-7? I liked it because I do like receivers. He's not, you know, super old. But I really wanted to see kind of where he would go. But I really wanted Chase. I think should have went higher. I think there's a lot more running backs, and especially running backs over the age of 25 in the first round. So, you know, Jonathan Taylor didn't surprise me. Harris, you know, I would have taken Jefferson and Chase over Harris and McCaffrey. But I understand, you know, people do like the running backs and they want to grab them. So we got the second round. We had Austin Eckler, Tyreek Hill, Joe Mixon, AJ Brown, Debo Samuel, DK Metcalf, Nick Chubb, Kyle Pitts, Stephon Diggs, Saquon Barkley at the 210, Chris Godwin at 211, and Cam Akers at 212. So of anybody in that round, you said Javonte Williams is a little early. Would you have taken A.J. Brown or Tyreek Hill or Austin Eckler over Javonte?
Probably. I definitely probably would have taken Akers. You're looking at – or Eckler. You're looking at the same position and a guy that's got a pretty guaranteed role in L.A. Personally, I just think Eckler's situation, especially this being a PPR, 1QB dynasty, I get the draw of Javonte, but and they're right next to each other. It's not a big difference there. But I probably would have taken Eckler. I probably would have taken Tyreek Hill over him. I just think that even Joe Mixon, you know, a lot of these guys up till about Debo Samuel there. That's probably where, like, I would have expected Javonte right around Debo, DK, Nick Chubb, that area. I just feel like you're hedging a lot on your first round pick. You know, in a dynasty league, and there's time to recover, but, like, it's a lot.
I think with him, he's looking at age.
Yeah.
And he's trying to go with the young running back. We know what Javonte Williams is when he can get the lead role, but I definitely agree with what you're saying. He's a difficult one because, you know, at this point, we didn't know who the head coach was going to be, and we still don't know what's going to happen with Melvin Gordon. It's interesting to see, you know, Kyle Pitts, the first tight end off the board. Mm-hmm. Would you have taken Kyle Pitts as your tight end one?
Yes and no. I don't hate it. I think he's deserving of it. I do like the way the tight ends went. As we look at the rest of the landscape, kind of. The one that's probably, I don't hate it. I think the 1-2 that went at tight end is interchangeable, in my opinion.
Yeah, for me with six out in this round, I think Barkley went a little early. I can understand the pick, but I think it is a little early for what we've seen. But he is just 24 years old. It seems like, you know, it seems like he's a lot older than that. But there's just a lot of unproven there. So even as a Giants fan, I'm just, you know, a little concerned. And Jeremy, if there's any comments, please let me know. I got the other screen up.
Okay.
So then we had our first quarterback taken, and it's pretty early for a one quarterback league. So we finished it out, Godwin and Akers. And then at the turn, he took Josh Allen, then Derrick Henry at 3-2, Dobbins at 3-3, Gibson at 3-4, McLaurin at 3-5. Elliott at 3-6, Andrews at 3-7, Deontay at 3-8, Waddle at 3-9, George Kittle at 3-10, A.J. Dillon at 3-11, and T. Higgins who's too high, who's too low for you in this third round?
All I know is that that J.K. Dobbins snipe really hurt. Does it hurt?
Oh, man.
Emotionally, physically.
And let everyone know that I had to publicly shame Jeremy with a tweet every time he got on the clock. He's been busy. It was all in fun.
Yeah, it was a busy life, you know.
But I definitely
couldn't recover.
I think there was, he was very busy with his job, but he was also super depressed about this Dobbins pick.
Yeah, after that, I just was like, okay, whatever.
His average pick for 1-4 and 2-9 was 30 seconds, and it was 14 hours for every pick after the Dobbins pick. I'm just putting that out there. Unofficial time.
Unofficial. All right, this draft was really surprising. There's a lot of concentration on youth, you know. I mean, I feel like getting Derrick Henry at 3-2 is just crazy. I think that, I mean, A.J. Dillon going that high at 3-11 seemed pretty crazy to me, too. So those are probably the two that, like, in reverse order, you know. Derrick Henry, I get the age, but, like, still Derrick Henry. And then also even Josh Allen going at, like, 3-1. That's really high, usually in a one quarterback. You see the rest of the board. I mean, we weren't taking quarterbacks till what is that, 6? Like, so that was pretty high.
I wonder what he felt like when he saw, like, there's a run on quarterbacks. You know, the Patrick Mahomes started a run on quarterbacks. But he literally went 3 rounds too early, or at least 2 rounds too early. He could at least went and got Josh Allen the 5th. I don't know what he was thinking when he saw all that, but he got his guy. I thought A.J. Dillon was a very interesting pick, and Ezekiel Elliott. Everyone is pretty noticeably seeing the decline in Zeke. He is getting paid like an offensive lineman, and he's being used like an offensive lineman. He did more blocking than anything else in the second half of the year. And it's just a decline for Zeke. I think you're going to continue to see that with him. And it's just super early. And he started off with Jamar Chase, but then he got, Chubb and Elliott. I don't know. But A.J. Dillon for me was like, that was a very interesting pick. Unless you have some inside knowledge that Aaron Jones is going to be gone. Hint, he's not. They literally just paid him, and he has like $10 million dead cap. So A.J. Dillon is not – like, this is like last year when everybody was convinced Aaron Jones was leaving. Aaron Jones is not going to be sold in the rebuild. It's too early in his contract. And Dillon going before Jones was interesting to me. And then we'll go with the 4th round. Elijah Mitchell, Travis Kelce, Keenan Allen at the 3 spot, David Montgomery at the 4. 4-5 was Aaron Jones. 4-6 was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. DJ Moore at 4-7, DeAndre Hopkins at 4-8, Darren Waller at 4-9, TJ Hawkinson at 4-10, Mike Evans at 4-11, Josh Jacobs at 4-12. Jeremy, who sticks out here? Who's too high? Who's too low?
You do have a comment from Facebook user.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just says Facebook user.
They have an out for Jones, though. We'll have to look that one up. Just throwing it out there, broski. This may be the person that made the Dillon pick. I don't know. We're just throwing it out.
I do think that they kind of do have an out, I think, this year, if they really wanted to. I think I remember there was kind of something in there, but I'm not 100% sure like what the logistics is behind that. I know it was only a 2-year deal. So.
Yeah, let's check it out there with the Packers. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I still, I don't know. The person speaking, would you take A.J. Dillon over Aaron Jones, or did you take it? Because it's maybe the person that made the pick. So let's pull up his contract now and look at it.
It's interesting. That just says Facebook user now. That's new.
Yeah. Oh, Travis Sumter. So potential out 2023. So 2022 roster bonus 3.75, 2022 dead cap of 9.7. Oof. The out is 2023. So it's basically a 2-year contract, and then they can out. And that is a 2-year, $19 million with a 6.5 dead cap out. So I do think it's a 2-year deal. But the roster bonus is on the is on 3/18/2022. He gets a 3.75 roster bonus. 2023 gets a third league day of 2023, $7 million roster bonus. So yeah, I think the 2023 is the out.
Yeah, so that's what I remember. I remember it being something around 2 years, whether that was but I thought it was a pretty hard 2 years. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, basically
where that was.
If they get rid of him before the third day of the new league year in 2023, they get out of a $7 million signing bonus.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think they're ready to. I mean, even if Rodgers leaves, I don't think they're going to be ready to rebuild, to be honest, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, they could tag Davante Adams, or I think Adams is under contract. So aside from him saying that he wants out, I mean, I the team's still decent, you know? I mean, I don't know if Love's going to be the answer.
Yeah.
They might bring somebody else in. I think it's definitely going to be an interesting quarterback market. Mainly because of what the 49ers are doing, but we can talk about that on a different podcast.
Yeah, it's good to bring up. And like, just to throw it out there, a lot of people think that Aaron Rodgers is like a free agent, can do whatever he wants to do. He's not. The team's going to have to trade for him. I actually had a conversation, was tweeting back and forth with Spotrac today. So people, I think, have a misconception that he can just walk. The Packers, he does not have a no trade clause, and the Packers will save money if they can trade him before before June 1st. So it'll be interesting where he goes, and I don't think a team's going to sign him until they get an extension worked out. So he's going to have some say in where he goes, but Green Bay is going to get some compensation. As far as the next round, we already talked about, you know, Mitchell, Kelsey, Allen, Montgomery, Jones, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, DJ Moore, Hopkins, Waller, Hockenson, Evans, Jacobs. Who sticks out in that round for you, other than Aaron Jones?
I feel like it's a pretty decent round, to be honest. I feel like a lot of those guys are kind of right in where you would expect them to go. Maybe. Nothing really stands out. I feel like
at this point, what team do you think stands out? And we have the Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, Josh Allen, Josh Jacobs squad, Najee Harris, Chris Godwin, Derrick Henry, Mike Evans squad, two Buccaneers with a 45-year-old quarterback. We have Justin Jefferson.
One might not be a Buccaneer.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, yeah, Chris Godwin is a free agent. Dobbins and Hockenson. Then we have Christian McCaffrey, Stephon Diggs, Gibson and Waller, CeeDee Lamb, Kyle Pitts, McLaurin and Hopkins, Chase Chubb, Elliott, DJ Moore, Kupp, Metcalf, Andrews, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Then we have Dalvin Cook, Debo Samuel, Deontay Johnson, Aaron Jones, DeAndre Swift, AJ Brown, Jalen Waddle, David Montgomery, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, George Kittle, Keenan Allen, Javonte Williams, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Dillon, Travis Kelce, and then Davante Adams, Austin Eckler, T. Higgins, and Elijah Mitchell. So comment below. Let us know which one you guys like. Jeremy, anyone stand out other than your own?
I mean, I think they're all pretty solid. I like Cooper Kupp stacked with Andrews. But then it's like you got a little dicey with CEH. I mean, he's probably one of the better ones available when you took him. But, like, I don't totally know what to do with CEH, so I'm just kind of a little, But, like, they're all pretty solid, I think. Honestly, I think they're all being put together pretty well. The Dobbins team's pretty good just because he has him. But, you know.
Well, let's go to the next round. So, in the fifth round, Devonta Smith went. So, big gap between Devonta Smith and Chase, but Jalen Waddle did go before Devonta Smith and went. Looks like he went almost two rounds ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Fant at the 5-2, Michael Pittman at 5-3, Calvin Ridley at 5-4. It's a pretty good value if he goes somewhere. Obviously, it's a risky pick, but pretty good value there at 5-4 for Calvin Ridley. Miles Sanders at 5'5", Travis Etienne, who I was hoping to get on the swing back, and then Damian Harris at 5'7", Tony Pollard at 5'8". Interesting to see him and closing in on Zeke. Elijah Moore at 5'9", Amari Cooper at 5'10", Michael Carter at 5'11", Brandon Ayuk at 5'12". Anyone in that round stand out to you too high, too low?
Yeah, I think Noah Fant was a little high. I get the drop off coming after him. There's really not a whole lot. I mean, you've Fant and Goddard really there. The only two that kind of have a consistent involvement in an offense. So I could understand seeing Waller, Hockenson, and Kelsey go the round before. I could kind of get behind why he went there. Just felt a little early. Tony Pollard was a little early, in my opinion. He's kind of a high end handcuff, but in the fifth round just seemed like a little bit of a reach, kinda, in my opinion. Especially with with Carter, who's a lead back in essence, still there. Fournette's still there. I mean, you had guys, James Robinson still there. Like, you had guys that are kinda Chase Edmonds, you know, like there's guys that were still available. It kind of seemed a little high, but
when I go into my dynasty startups, I'm looking to just get value. I'm looking for all the value that I can get. And at the end of it, you can make trades because people are going to want to make moves. They're gonna have issues with some parts of their roster. And so you'll see with my next few picks where I try to pick up some value. Noah Fant was a reach. And Dallas Goedert, I have ranked higher than Noah Fant. Mike Gesicki, I have over Noah Fant. And people can definitely make arguments to have Dalton Schultz, Pat Freiermuth, and Dawson Knox over Noah Fant. And so that was a reach in my opinion. I get the need to get that tight end, but Noah Fant's just never – he hasn't shown that upside. But maybe, you know, maybe someone like an Aaron Rodgers or – I don't have Aaron Rodgers going to the Broncos, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's going to be Watson or Wilson.
I don't think it's going to be Watson. Maybe Wilson, but
I think it's going to be one of those guys. I could definitely see Russell Wilson in at the Broncos, and I think it'd be okay for Noah Fant, but I'd be thrilled for Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. But to go to the next round, I would put Goddard over Fant for sure. And Goddard went here at the 6'1". Amon-Ra St. Brown at 6'2". Leonard Fournette at 6'3". Patrick Mahomes at 6'4". We see a run on quarterbacks here. Herbert at 6'5". Michael Thomas at 6'6". Joe Burrow at 6'7". Marquise Brown at 6'8". Kyler Murray at 6'9". Lamar Jackson at 6'10". Aaron Rodgers at 6'11". Jerry Jeudy at 6'12". What are your thoughts here about this round, quarterbacks and everything?
I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown at 6'2 is pretty wild. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you look at the receivers that went after him, it's not crazy. I don't know what Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to be. Who is he? Was it a breakout that we're going to see that again next year? Is it going to be just like a one-year kind of hit? Do they bring someone in? What's the situation? I don't know. He's a risky pick. Not terrible, but a little risky. Joe Burrow at the fourth quarterback taken, I thought was pretty exciting. I don't hate it. I like Joe Burrow.
Chase, by the way, team six.
Yeah.
You're no longer showing your face, but you had a great team with a few. Well, I liked a few of the picks a lot. I liked the Burrow and Chase, and I liked the ETN picks. I definitely was a little jealous of the Chase and ETN picks particularly.
Yeah, I mean, I like Burrow there. I mean, it was a little early. I thought he was going to fall, but I don't
hate
it.
He also got Boyd. He may be a bad man.
Yeah, maybe he is. Who knows?
I loved getting Michael Thomas here at 6'6".
Would be a huge deal.
I don't see Mike. You know, I'm not calling Michael Thomas a top five, dynasty receiver anymore. But I got him as like the wide receiver, like 30. So I'm totally fine with that. As you know, as a gamble at 6'6" here.
Yeah, you're getting them around St. Brown, Marquise Brown, and Jerry Jeudy. I mean, that's pretty.
And to look at what our, you know, we're looking at some of the rookies and how they're falling. So ETN went in the fifth round. Michael Carter went in the fifth round. And we had some, you know, in the eighth round, we had Michael Gallup. We had Adam Thielen. I'm sorry, let's go back. I'm going the wrong way. We're in round seven. So Mike Gesicki at 7-1, James Robinson at 7-2, and then Rashad Bateman. So Rashad Bateman was 7-3, and that was almost it was a full round after Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney at 7-4, Claypool 7-5, Renfro 7-6, Penny 7-7, Tony 7-8, Kareem Hunt 7-9, Dak Prescott 7-10, Mike Williams 7-11, Jalen Hurts 8-01. Thoughts there?
I thought Team 6 got a little dicey here with Renfro. That's a little high. I mean, he had a really good year. Just kind of seems like if you look at his career, it was kind of like a unicorn year. Mm-hmm. So is it the breakout, or is it just going to be that one blip on the season where, oh, hey, look, Darren Waller was hurt for a majority of the games that Renfro kind of exploded, but who knows? You know, I think the Raiders bring somebody else in at wide receiver this offseason too. So I just a little early.
I think
James Robinson at 7-2 is a pretty good steal, honestly. I still just don't totally believe that Travis Etienne comes back 100% and steals that role. And if he does, who says that James Robinson doesn't get traded? I think it's 7-2. The guys that he's after, I think that's a pretty good deal, honestly.
Yeah, and a torn Achilles is definitely not something easy to come back of. I know Akers is making it look easy. But Robinson there is definitely – you're definitely going to get him at an injury discount at anywhere you go. And, you know, with the running backs are really drying up at this point. And then you got 801, Chris Carson, then Alexander Mattison, Robert Woods. Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is such an interesting player. He's not as old as he seems he is. And we just don't know what's going to happen. I went 2 years ago and got a whole lot of Allen Robinson because I thought, well, he's definitely going to get out of Chicago. And then they tagged him. And then I'm like, well, he got Justin Fields. Like, I won. And then he had the worst year of his career. I think he had more points with a torn ACL than he did last year. It was awful. So I don't know what happens with him. I don't think he stays in Chicago, even with all the changes they're making right now with a new head coach, new offensive coordinator. I just don't think it's going to work out. I want to see where he goes. And if he gets the pick where he goes, his agent's definitely going to look for a payday. So I think he goes on a short prove it deal and tries to go somewhere where we can amplify his numbers. I want to see where he ends up. You know, whether it's Kansas City or one of those high-powered offenses. Pat Freiermuth at 8.05, I thought was just a really good value compared to, you know, where these other guys are going. Super young. And we don't know who the quarterback is, but Ben wasn't, you know, was not at the top of his career. Tyler Lockett, James Conner, Brandon Cooks, Chase Edmonds, Ramondre Stevenson, Adam Thielen, Michael Gallup. Speaking of Michael Gallup is someone that's going to – he's due for a big free agency year, but he tore his ACL about a month ago. So he's not going to be – yeah, he'll be ready for training camp, but he's not going to even be able to – he's not going to be able to sign a big free agent contract. He won't even be able to take a physical at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Gallup. That's an interesting situation to monitor, but –
in that round, who sticks out to you?
I think it's a pretty solid round, kind of where you expect a lot of these guys to go. Chris Carson's kind of interesting. Aside from that, I would say it's kind of where you see it being. You know, just because Carson's future's so up in the air, it seems pretty early for me.
I like,
you know, he might not play. So
I like the Brandon Cooks pick. He's always underrated. I thought about him at my pick. I went for Lockett and the boom potential there that he brings. But I do like the Cooks pick. 9-1, we had DJ Chark, Myles Gaskin, Devin Singletary, Gabriel Davis before the big four touchdown game. Gabriel Davis, I've seen him going for 2023 first round picks.
People are crazy.
According to the calculator. So I put a trade poll out. People were a little bit not as crazy on my calculator. I mean, not as crazy on my trade poll, but guys, go out there and take advantage of this. I love Gabriel Davis, but if you can get 2023 first for him, sign me up. Melvin Gordon, Juju Smith-Schuster, Odell Beckham Jr., Chuba Hubbard, Cortland Sutton, Jacoby Myers, Van Jefferson, Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore is obviously fallen quite a bit compared to his classmates. What are your thoughts about this round?
I feel like this was like a value round, you know? Like, DJ Chark could end up being a huge value depending on where he goes. If he returns to Jacksonville, the offense is better. Devin Singletary, if the Bills don't bring a running back in, I think he's proven he's the guy there. So you're getting an RB1 in the 9th round. Gabe Davis, although I'm not like not at first round value, I think in the 9th he could end up being a wide receiver 3. Yep. I think that could be pretty good value with definitely wide receiver boom weeks in there. So I think that's a decent value. I mean, Melvin Gordon, depending on whether he stays or not. I mean, he was a running back 2 this year. And you're getting that in the 9th round after guys who were like 3s and 4s in Stevenson and Gaskin and Madison and Carson and Hunt. Like, these guys weren't much of anything. And you're getting Melvin Gordon, who proved that he was still great. Juju Smith-Schuster coming off an injury, another guy that could be huge. Odell Beckham with the Rams. If he stays, that's going to be a huge pick probably for you, Dave. Chuba Hubbard is interesting. He's maybe a little early, but you're in the handcuff range, so I don't hate that. The upside's there. Cortland Sutton, I mean, with a new quarterback, new offensive coordinator, he could have a big year. Jacoby Myers going this late in a PPR league just seemed crazy to me. I mean, the connection was there with Mac Jones. Van Jefferson. And then Rondale Moore. I mean, both those guys have good upside. I feel like this is a good round overall with a lot of like high upside picks, in my opinion, for everybody. I think it was just a good round for people in general.
Yeah, there's still talent here. You know, don't get complacent in your drafts. And you can have a little patience knowing that you can get receivers like we did in this round. And, you know, you go earlier with your running backs and tight ends because you got a lot of depth at receiver. Kenny Galladay to start at 10-1, obviously had a bad season, had 0 touchdowns. The clapper is no longer there, and there's no more Freddie Kitchens. So I think there's nowhere to go but up for the Giants offense. We'll see who they get. They are looking at Brian Flores. I'm not a big fan of that because of all the offensive coordinators that he's run through already. But if they get Brian Daboll, that's obviously a good choice for the offensive weapons here. And Kenny Galladay in the 10th round is a pretty good value as well. Deshaun Watson at 10-2, Broncos quarterback, future Broncos quarterback. Dalton Schultz, 10-3, Cordero Patterson at 10-4. I thought that was a good value for Patterson. I know it's probably just a one-year thing, but again, he's getting his 4th or 5th running back, and next year he will be listed as a running back. And if the Falcons do not add another running back, you're going to get a lot of value there.
He's a free agent though, so that's where it gets interesting.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
Henderson at 10-5, Trey Lance at 10-6, Zach Moss at 10-7, Trey Sermon 10-8, Ronald Jones at 10-9, Dawson Knox at 10-10, Jarvis Landry 10-11, Mac Jones at 10-12. Thoughts there, Jeremy? Too high, too low?
You have a comment. And I think Deshaun Watson could be a huge value at 10-2. I think Dalton Schultz this late, pretty good value. I like where he is, though, like with the guys that were taken ahead of him and everything. I kind of like his value, like his spot. Like, the tight ends went in like the right order almost, I feel like. So yeah. I don't hate it here. Like you said, Cordell Patterson, a little early, but also could be great value. If it's not a one-year thing, maybe you get another year out of them. Zach Moss, really early. That's some dedication. But maybe he still becomes something. I just think the Zach Moss train's kind of dead. Trey Sermon, I think they're hoping for something to come out of there. But and then I think Mac Jones is a good spot for Mac Jones. You know, I wouldn't expect him to go much higher, but I think it's pretty decent value there for Mac Jones.
Yeah. And then you know, I got Trey Lance here. I thought Trey Lance and Deshaun Watson were just boom. You know, you're going for the upside there. And then just I thought Schultz was probably Schultz and Knox, I thought were really good values. You know, when we talk about Noah Fant versus Schultz and Knox, I probably would take Schultz or Knox over Fant. And then you throw in a 5-round discount. So sign me up. So if I have Noah Fant in any leagues or you have Noah Fant in any leagues, maybe go try to trade him for, you know, these guys, because if someone's going to value him that high, especially with the thought that Rodgers might come, yeah, sign me up. I would take, you know, a lot of these guys after him. So
I just like Fant over like Knox and Freiermuth and Gesicki a little bit based on like a target share. You know, he still gets a lot of targets. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of been like not good targets because of the quarterback play.
They've been poor targets. Judy and Sutton have missed a lot of time the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And with that, I just thought he would do more. It's just, we'll see. We've gotten fourth year breakouts every single year, the last three. And he's definitely somebody that could break out, you know, before finishes rookie contract. The next round, we had LaVisca Chenault at 11-1, Kenyon Drake 11-2, Trevor Lawrence 11-3, Corey Davis 11-4, Sonny Michel 11-5, Hunter Henry 11-6, Christian Kirk 11-7, Donovan Peoples Jones, and then Kyle. Just by the way, Kyle, you need to come back on the show, man. It's been a while. And then we had Cole Kmet 11-9, JD McKissick 11-10, Zach Ertz 11-11, Kenny Gainwell at 11-12. What are your thoughts on this round? It's a little bit of everything here. Tight ends, running backs, and receivers.
I like the discount on Corey Davis. It's obviously my pick. I'm not trying to be that way. I even actually forgot that was my pick. but I do like the discount there as what's probably their wide receiver one. You could argue Elijah Moore, but Corey Davis was signed and brought there to be that guy. Mm-hmm. I like Cole Kmet here. I think he is in line for a possible breakout too with a new offense, Justin Fields, in his third year. I saw a stat the other day on Twitter, like he was one of the top five tight ends in actually being on the field for a percentage of the plays. So I really like that. And Donovan Peoples-Jones is an interesting one to me. Obviously, Max here, I think that's what that says on the top of the screen, was really in on him. I don't know if Donovan Peoples-Jones really becomes much of a fantasy asset. I think he's a great player for the Browns.
Yeah.
Someone asked me this a couple days ago on Twitter, and the same thing. I just don't know what to really do with him. I just don't think that offense has enough firepower. I think they bring someone else in. I think if Peoples-Jones was going to be something, he would have been able to do it this year in the situation that everything was. I get Baker was hurt, but like, I just don't know if the value, like, I think he's going to have plays. He's going to make plays. He'll be useful. I don't know if the fantasy value is there, you know, like that. So that's
maybe early. Best ball, but yeah, I'm with you on that. We'll see. You know, some of these other guys, you know, Kenny Gainwell and McKissick in the PPR setting. I understand it.
Yeah.
12th round, we had KJ Osborne, Gus Edwards. We have Darrell Williams, not Damian, Matthew Stafford, Darius Slayton, Justin Fields, Tyler Boyd, Robert Tonyan, Nico Collins, Joshua Palmer, Russell Wilson, Irv Smith. What are your thoughts on this round here?
Stafford was kind of crazy that he fell this far. I get the age, but like you're looking at a 2-3 year window. I would have thought Stafford would have went, say, like before Watson or Mac Jones or even Trevor Lawrence, you know, like kind of like, I mean, maybe I could see you taking Trey Lance ahead of him. But even there, you know, like I would have thought Stafford would have went a little higher. But a lot of people drafted one quarterback already. So he was kind of just a secondary quarterback. So I get maybe why he fell. People were going a little bit with more youth as their second quarterback. And then Darius Slayton, another one, not to kind of like harp on Max here, but like I just didn't really get that one. I feel like he's kind of just dead in the water at this point. I feel like his role is just kind of meh. I mean, maybe you'll know better as a full-time Giants fan, but I just feel
don't put your baby in Slayton's hands, because he's got the drops. And you know, between Evan Engram and Darius Slayton, a lot of production. You know, we had very little opportunities as the Giants to do much, but Darius Slayton and Evan Engram dropping balls and putting them in the other team's hand is just too frequent. The Giants will definitely look to focus on Tony and Galladay and not Slayton. I thought Stafford was a good pick. I definitely was. I was thinking of pairing him up with Fields, but I just didn't get the opportunity. I'm pairing him up with Lance. Stafford, he's 33. People act like he's a lot older. He started at 20, so he's been in the league a long time. And then you got Russell Wilson's the same age. They're both 33. And Stafford's obviously playing good ball. It's first year in the offense. He's getting better as the year's going on. So he should be pretty good next year as well. And Irv Smith is an interesting pick here. I think that's a good dart throw at the 12-12 spot. I thought he was going to have a good year this year. And obviously, you know, injury happened. But he's poised for a good year. They used Tyler Conklin well. But they'll have a new regime there, so we'll see. Russell Gage at 13-1 came on strong at the end of the year. Rob Gronkowski, we got Mecole Hardman at 13-3, Brevin Jordan 13-4, Tom Brady at 13-5, Tyler Higbee at 13-6, Troutman 13-7, Khalil Herbert 13-8, Keyshawn Vaughn 13-9, Logan Thomas, Julio Jones, Devontae Parker. Anyone stick out to you in that round?
Yeah, who the hell drafted Breeden Jordan? Jesus. not really. I kind of like that round. Maybe Troutman. I mean, I guess I know you like him. I like him. I just kind of seemed like it was a year that he just didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
There's a dart throw into that aspect of that pick, but like it could pay off. Now without Sean Payton, it probably looks and feels worse than it was that the time that this draft happened. But I don't hate it.
That's why I got Mark Andrews.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a secondary tight end. It's a, you know, it's that kind of that, okay, he's the younger guy and maybe he becomes something or you can get a game out of him, trade him. I don't hate it. He just soured me. I was all in on him last year and he just dudded me and now it's just like a personal vendetta a little bit, but I still love him.
Yeah, I get it. The Brady pick is interesting, you know, Gronk as well, because there's a lot of unknown there. And Julio Jones, I mean, he's getting older. There's some unknown there with how long he's going to be. The next round, we had Evan Engram at 14-1, Nyheim Hines at 14-2. We had D'Ernest Johnson at 14-3, Jamal Williams at 14-4, Henry Ruggs at 14-5. I don't know if he's going to play football next year. Will Fuller, 14-6, Tua at 14-7, Ryan Tannehill 14-8, Derek Carr 14-9. Rumors that Josh McDaniels is very likely going to be the head coach, and New England's one of New England's top personnel guys is going to go over there with him. And supposedly McDaniels is very high on Carr, and that's part of the reason he wants to go over there. Your Bills defense: Robbie Anderson, Alan Lazard. Other than Henry Ruggs, anything else stand out to you in that round?
I think Will Fuller could be interesting, depending on where he goes. Head coaches, if he stays in Miami, that could be pretty good value all the way down in the 14th round, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I took him. Raheem Mostert, 15-1. Dolphins, 15-2. Terrace Marshall, 15-3. Pour one out for Terrace Marshall. Man, I hope he has a bounce back. Johnny Smith, 15-4. He's put him on a milk carton. He just took all the money and did nothing last year. Cowboys, Rams, Buccaneers, saw some defenses. Jalen Reagor. I think he just stayed in Tampa after the game.
Philly that fans, could be good.
Philly fans hate that guy. Dustin Jackson, and then you have the Niners, Pats, and the Steelers D. So at the end of it, you know, I'll share the full board. to give everybody a look at it. But, you know, at the end of it, it was just, it was really fun to see where the 2021 class went, as well as, you know, where some of these players are going. Some of these players, you're going to see their stock change a lot over the offseason. But I want everyone to see this now, because there are a lot of things going on. I had someone, you know, talk about a dynasty trade today, and I just pulled up this board and said, hey, you know, this is the trade that you're talking about in a startup. Theoretically, you know, Barkley went 210, David Montgomery went 4-4. I think it's probably a little low for Montgomery, a little high for Barkley, but when you're talking about an apples and apples comparison and you're saying, hey, you know, this person offered me Jalen Waddle and David Montgomery for Barkley, you're going, all right, so you got a 3-9 and a 4-4 startup for a 210. I'll take that. So, you know, it just gives you some comparisons, as well as to see when you do your startups. All right, well, sixth round is where you're going to need your quarterback. So if you want Josh Allen, take him in the fifth, not the third. Tight ends, this is how the tight ends fell. So I just think it gives you a lot. So if you're not watch this mock, but then just go do your own. Do as many as possible. All right, Jerm, anything else before we get out of here?
No, I'm good.
All right, man. Well, hey, you good luck on your test, and everybody have a good night, and good rest of the year.